Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant. Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
Most interactive sports talk show in Houston. In the last segment, we were talking about the latest horns down scandal. Fake Tony Stark on YouTube said, careful, Paul's getting canceled. Poor Marine said he's reporting it to YouTube. Hey, don't do that. Don't do that. We need to make money. This show makes more money than the other shows because of the handsomeness of its host. It is a thing, okay? Do not report, please. I have a cat to feed. Also, you can join on our Twitch or on a text line or by phone, 713-780-3776 to call to text. Super Bowl 58 is set 13 days away from Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift, and what's the team? The Kansas City Chiefs going up against the San Francisco 49ers. Chiefs beat the Ravens 17-10. The 49ers overcame a 24-7 halftime deficit, and they beat the Detroit Lions. So now, you got to wonder about who's actually going to be back to this spot next year. Maybe the Ravens feel like they're likely to get back. Lamar Jackson did have a very good season. That defense is great. But on the other sideline, a team with Jared Goff as its quarterback, a team that has never been this far in the playoffs before. Hell, just the fact that they're the Lions, it does make you wonder if this is the furthest that the Lions ever will go. And in a moment of honesty after the game, Lions head coach Dan Campbell was asked about that possibility. Here's what he had to say.
It's a lesson learned. And look, I told those guys, this may have been our only shot. Do I think that? No. Do I believe that? No. However, I know how hard it is to get here. I'm well aware. And it's going to be twice as hard to get back to this point next year than it was this year. That's the reality. And if we don't have the same hunger and the same work, which is a whole nother thing, once we get the off season, then we got no shot of getting back here. I don't care how much better we get or what we add or what we draft. It's irrelevant. It's going to be tough. Everybody in our division is going to be loaded back up. And, you're not hiding from anybody anymore. Everybody's going to want a piece of you. And which is fine, which is fine. But so it's hard. You want to make the most of every opportunity. And we had an opportunity and we just couldn't close it out.
That perspective is the correct perspective, and it's the perspective that the Houston Texans better have. I think often when you see a young team make it to the playoffs for the first time and surprise a lot of people, you just assume that it's going to continue. But that very often in the NFL, which is at times just mean. Take a look at what happened to the Lions at the end of yesterday's game. I mean, for God's sakes, like Brock Purdy threw another interception and it should have been intercepted. It bounces off a Lion defender and into the hands of Brandon Ayuk and they score a touchdown. But here are some teams that got close to making a Super Bowl. Listed by Justin Spiro and never got back, but everyone thought they were going to get back. The 2007 Chargers. The 2009 Jets. Have the Jets even made the playoffs since then? The 2009 Vikings. Oh, wait, the 2010 Jets. But that's the year after where they didn't make it. The 2010 Bears. The 2014 Colts. 2015 Cardinals. 2017 Jaguars. 2017 Vikings. The 2019 Titans. The Bills in 2020. The Packers in 2020. It's hard to get to this point. It's hard to get back. Unless you're the Kansas City Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes. And honestly, unless you're the San Francisco 49ers. You're getting a matchup of the two best teams. How did the Texans get back? I saw a comment. This is on our Twitch. The Texans have an elite quarterback and a rookie contract. Their run starts now. It's Super Bowl or bust in these next 3 years. I guess as far as signing people to big contracts and taking risks that you maybe won't be able to down the road, sure. But I, more than having that mindset of Super Bowl or bust, I know that D'Amico Ryans has a big challenge on his hand this offseason in getting these guys to realize how difficult it is to get to this moment. Because if you're any of those young Texans players, whether you're a rookie this past season like a C.J. Stroud or a Tank Dell, or someone who was playing for a team that wasn't really efforting to compete the years before that, so that would be Derek Stingley, some of the other young players. You have to have somebody just almost slap you in the face with the tape of the Lions blowing that 24-7 lead and saying, there's a very good chance they're not going to be back. There's a very good chance you won't be back. The schedule that the Texans are going up against this coming season, the first place schedule, I mean, it's brutal. It's going to be hard. And they are going to lose games to teams that are on the same level as them. That's just how the NFL works. How many are they going to lose to teams that are on the same level as them? I mean, we know this year that they've lost a couple of games to teams that they were better than. And that was this year. The Jets, the Falcons, the Panthers. So what are the things, I mean, I guess that they can take from just sitting back and watching these playoffs? And it seems like such a obvious thing, but every single year, when you see teams lose specifically to the Kansas City Chiefs, you realize it's not as simple as just don't screw up, but it really is as simple as don't screw up. I think one of the good things the Texans do have going forward is maybe not a quarterback that is of the caliber of Patrick Mahomes, who looked great on those first two drives and, of course, had that nice throw to Marquez Valdes-Scantling, but had some struggles in between there. And Jackson made some splash plays as well. But in C.J. Stroud, to this point, you have a quarterback that does not make mistakes. Do I expect that going forward? I actually do. I think if we learned anything from C.J. Stroud this season is that he can make plays, but it doesn't have to come in a way where there's a risk of turnovers. You know, he's not going to be like Brett Favre, who was a great quarterback, but made tons and tons and tons and tons of mistakes over the course of his career. You have a guy who was closer to Brady on that front, closer to Mahomes on that front. And that is the biggest thing. Like the reason that Brady and Mahomes have as much playoff success as they do is not necessarily because every single playoff game that they've played in, they have been lighting up the scoreboard. You know, we saw Peyton Manning do that a bunch in the 2000s. He had some unbelievable playoff performances against the Kansas City Chiefs specifically early in his career. But then he would have those games where he threw three interceptions, four interceptions. You don't see that from Tom Brady. You don't see that from Patrick Mahomes. And you're hoping you don't see that from C.J. Stroud. So it starts there. And then from that point on, it's just don't do dumb stuff. The quarterback can't throw an interception and can't fumble. You can't do dumb stuff. Just don't do the dumb stuff. Don't be Zay Flowers. Don't drop passes that are open. Dalton Schultz had a couple of those. Like, you got to just not be dumb. And sounds really simple. Sounds almost condescending. But the reason that these teams have these long runs is because maybe the moment just doesn't resonate with them at all. Maybe they're like, yeah, it's just another game. Maybe eventually that's how you get to a point where you're never nervous. You're always calm, cool, and collected. Because these two teams, I mean, the Lions look like a team that were a Cinderella story that just hit reality really quickly. Like Cinderella going up against a Goliath in March Madness. And all of a sudden you're like, oh yeah, these guys suck. Like, what are we doing here?
I was thinking of actual Cinderella. I was like, I don't think she fought anyone in the
Cinderella. No.
Yes. They were 100% a 13 seed that made the Elite Eight and then had to play North Carolina.
And you're like, right.
And they made some threes in the first half and then, yeah, and then it was over.
And then it's over. So the Lions did eventually look like that. And the Ravens just looked like a team that should know better by now. And the Lamar Jackson interception was terrible. The Zay Flowers saga of those three plays in a row with the, like, basically, like, shoving and standing over and rolling the ball in a defender's head. randomly going after a Chiefs defender when Lamar was literally looking to throw the football to him. Wasn't the screen they were running? The Chief defender was like, what are you doing, dude?
Yeah.
And Lamar, and the funny thing was, Flowers, you could tell, was so agitated, looked back to like try to explain to him why he was trying to block him downfield instead of looking for a pass that came his way. And I don't know if these are all related, but I did feel like Flowers was trying to do too much, perhaps as a result of that. He did not need to dive ball first for that touchdown. He didn't need to do it. No. You never need to do it. That is my big pet peeve in football, is players who are, let's be honest, me, when you're doing that. Unless it's the end of the game and you must cross the plane. You are being me if you're sticking the football out like that, because it's the most skilled league in the world. These defenders all know how to punch the football out. And if you just put it there, they have a chance to do it. And if you're holding it out, whether it bounces out the end zone and it becomes a touchback or comes out of your hands and another player recovers, you should be punished violently for that dumbass move. Because it's a me, I'm not about the team, I'm all about myself, I want my glory move. It is, ultimately. And it's moments like that stack up, and it's why the Chiefs just keep on doing what they're doing, because they don't do that. When's the last time the Chiefs really screwed up in a game? Was it Kadarius Toney related? Probably.
Yeah, the non-Kadarius Toney related big game.
The play where he lined up offsides, yeah. Where Travis Kelce threw him that ball and he screwed the whole thing up. Or D Ford offsides.
That was the first, because I was thinking playoff games at first, and the first one I thought of was 2018 D Ford lining up offsides.
And guess what? That was their first year like going through what they go through. The growing pains happen. And hopefully for the Texans, all the pre-snap penalties was just a one-time thing. But I'm going to beat this into your head today. And you know, just take the simple approach here. It is legitimately all about not screwing up and not doing really dumbass things that cost your team. And the two teams that did less of that advanced, and they've been advancing for a while. And I'm hoping that the Texans into next year don't have a cacophony, how about that, of errors that ultimately do them in. Because they might have had a chance against Baltimore if not for some of those mistakes. As time wore on, it did seem like it was Baltimore was clearly the better team. They do need to get more talent. Don't get it twisted. But they also, when they're going up against a team like Kansas City this year, and the good news for them this season with all the teams that they will play against, won't be playoff caliber, but it'll be similar to it. You play all those teams, the biggest thing that I want them to take away from every single game is, did we shoot ourselves in the foot for no reason at all? Because that's what the whole damn thing's all about. Paul Galacho, ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call, to text. You can join on our YouTube channel. You can join on Twitch. Stick around.
ESPN, 97.5.com. I'm hungry.
The Krusty Krab Pizza is the pizza absolutively.
Welcome back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's your host, former Shorecrest Preparatory All-District Safety, Paul Gallant.
So, count me as one of the people that's not that annoyed, if I'm being honest, with the Taylor Swift dynamic of Super Bowl 58. For me, I look at it as, at the very least, content to laugh at. Because she has very little to do with the game. She's minding her own business, too. But she is now everywhere, and it's because her fans are psychos. Her most diehard fans, like the diehard fans of any sports fan base, like all the Ravens fans who were getting mad at me and saying I said Lamar Jackson sucks, which I never did, who are now calling for Lamar Jackson's head on radio in Baltimore today. The worst of the Taylor Swift fans are scary, the kind of people that could successfully storm a capital or install a 1930s kind of despot dictator. Like, that's what makes this experience the worst, is just seeing those people and dealing with those people. But I have no issue with the extra coverage that Taylor Swift dating Travis Kelce will get in our 2-week build up to the Super Bowl. I hate that there's 2 weeks between the conference championship and the Super Bowl, but I have seen a story that is making me reconsider just a little bit. This is how it begins. Airline adds flight 1989 for the Super Bowl. Return flight 87 to Kansas City. So this airline, American Airlines, has renamed one of the planes flight 1989, leaving Kansas City, flying to Las Vegas, and the return flight is 87. 1989, that's Taylor Swift's birth year. That is Taylor Swift's, I guess, number one album. And 87 is Travis Kelce's number. This is an ESPN post right now with the caption reading, Chiefs fans can travel in, glitter emoji, style, glitter emoji, to the Super Bowl, heart hands emoji. This is how it begins. And here is my question for you going forward. Do you want us to bury our head in the sand when it comes to this? Or do you want us to bring up every single one of these stories and highlight just how ridiculous it is? I want to do the latter. I want to do the latter. I can't believe that justified a post, and I kind of want to read the comments because it was posted by ESPN, who clearly doesn't care about the engagement that they're getting. It's just engagement by any means necessary, because I'm sure most of the comments are, just yelling and screaming about this being the new reality. Guys, we got 13 more days of this. 13 more days of Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce's love being thrust into the spotlight of all spotlights.
They've only been dating for like 4 months, but I don't know about love. Yeah, it's still early in the relationship.
Yeah, that is a good point. Have they even said that to one another yet? Because that generally doesn't happen the first 4 to 5 months, right? Now, I'm asking.
I think it's different for different people.
I'm asking. I'm asking because
I feel like it would be a little bit early. But they all, it's different because they're both so famous. But then again, they probably never see each other. But they probably see each other pretty rarely. Like, it's not like they're, you know, live in the same town.
I've never been in a relationship longer than 5 months. I know that I have never said it to somebody else. I also know that the only time I heard it from somebody else was a drunk phone call. So I don't think you do that the first 5 months. Could be wrong, but I don't think you do that. I don't think you do that.
If anyone does do it, though, it's probably Taylor Swift.
I would probably say it.
Based off her catalog as an artist, I feel like she moves pretty quickly in the, like, she falls pretty hard in all these relationships, given the fact that they all get 3 different breakup songs about them.
I think the last guy was like 6 years.
Was it really?
Yeah. There were a lot of those, no doubt. She's in her 20s.
I just know that there was one about Jake Gyllenhaal where they dated for like 3 weeks, like 10 years ago, and she just made a song about that. So
sometimes you need content. So the show needs content. Game respects game. Taylor Swift, Paul Gallant. I mean, we're icons, yeah. Right? In our own way.
Two people born in the same year.
Both born in the same year. Thank you.
That's what I learned this segment. Yeah. Okay. So to answer your question about should we either ignore or bring up every piece. Can I just walk you back from every piece to, like, can we only do the choice cuts? Can we do, like, 2 per day? Maybe. One in garbage time.
No, I think we need to. You know, we have a Texans watch, free agent watch that we're starting, and I think we have to have a Taylor Swift before the Super Bowl watch.
Can't do that.
I think we need it. I think you pushing back.
We might need it, but listen, we might need it given there's 13 more days of this.
We want things on our show that exude strong emotions. Strong emotions. Mm-hmm. Does make sometimes, you know what the most successful talking heads are? They're not people that you agree with. They're people that bring up things that you don't necessarily want to hear. Sometimes that's an opinion. Sometimes that's a news story about how an airline changed the flight name in 1989. Well, very popular tight end's girlfriend, Sean. This is a little different.
It is a little different.
This isn't Tom Brady dating Gisele Bündchen. This is Travis Kelce dating Taylor Swift. It's big. Big deal. We haven't had this before. We've never had this before. Ever. I haven't done any research, but we've never had it before.
I mean, it's such a small list of, like, most famous musician on the planet dating a football player. It's like, yeah, we probably haven't had this before.
Is there going to be a Taylor Watch video channel like that? You know, ESPN has the Pat McAfee watch. Can we get a Taylor Swift watch? Would she be cool with that? No, she's probably not even going to be there because I guess she has a concert in Japan or something the same day as the Super Bowl.
You can move that. Come on.
I got to say, if she's not at that Super Bowl, like, she kind of sucks.
Yeah, that tells us all we need to know about the relationship.
You got, like, I think everyone will understand. It's like, it's my possible future husband. But no, if she doesn't go, they can't get married. I will stay here. Here I am, all of a sudden passionate. I'm standing firmly in the pocket for dog, Travis Kelce. Yo, dog, listen, dog. You gotta stand strong here.
Man to man.
High school legend at safety in the lowest level of high school football in Florida. In a very non-diverse league to Travis Kelce, greatest tight end in the NFL right now. No Rob Gronkowski, that's for sure.
Good save.
Bro. Women. You know women? I know women. If your lady ain't coming to the Super Bowl, is she even your lady at all? Just some food for thought from Juan Casanova / sports legend / icon to another guy who's now finding himself in this spot. Just a little advice. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Up next, you know, I'm not mad at the Astros about this, but I feel like I should be. Here's why. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Dude. Totally. Back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios and your favorite 10 to noon sports talk host, Paul Gallant. Give him hell, Paulie.
On YouTube at ESPN Houston. Also, Twitch. You can call in 713-780-3776 or text in at that same number. Super Bowl 58, Chiefs, 49ers. I wanted to say Lions there. I'm bummed out for the Lions. Not bummed out for the Ravens. Kind of think it's funny the way that they lost. Especially considering, while I am a Lamar Jackson supporter, to see the many Ravens fans who were basically implying I was racist for preferring C.J. Stroud to Lamar Jackson, even though both quarterbacks are, get this, black. I don't see color, but I was told that. To see Lamar Jackson throw that interception and know that those bozos are going to have their own come-to-Jesus moments amongst themselves, wondering whether or not Lamar Jackson can get them further, that is delicious to me. Delicious. And a little cherry on top of that. Hey, Ravens fans, Edelman to Amendola. Yeah, suck on that. Anyway, the Astros are getting closer and closer to going to West Palm Beach for spring training, at least pitchers and catchers reporting. Let's continue the countdown. We're really, really close.
It's always Astros time in Houston. Are you ready to play?
A lot of people were wondering what it was going to be like if the Astros didn't win the division. I guess we'll never know.
We're counting you down to the Astros pitchers and catchers reporting to spring training in West Palm Beach.
14 days. That's 2 weeks. Now, we've been going to this list put together by Brian McTaggart when it comes to who's the best at every single number for the Astros. This one is a tricky one because there's Alan Ashby, there's Bob Aspromonte, there's Roger Metzger, there's Morgan Ensberg, and technically there is also A.J. Hinch, who wore number 14, pour one out. But he doesn't count because he is a manager. The choice made by McTaggart on this list is Alan Ashby, who from 1979 to 1989 caught the second most games in club history behind Brad Ausmus, including three no-hitters. They cut him in 89 to make room for Craig Biggio behind the plate. So we're 14 days away, and I saw something over the weekend. And I realized that this was going to happen as a result of the Astros giving that massive contract to Josh Hader. 5 years, $95 million. There was no way that they were also going to be able to keep Hector Neris. Or so I thought. And I thought that because I had seen rumors about how Neris was looking for a contract that was worth around $50 million over 3 years. That's insane. But Hector Neris will be playing elsewhere in 2024. And this sucks to see what it cost to bring him in. Right-handed reliever Hector Neris reported Jeff Passan early Saturday, and the Chicago Cubs are in agreement on a 1 year, $9 million contract that includes an option for 2025. I'm wondering if that is a player option. Nope, it's a team option. The $9 million team option converts to a player option at 60 games. Okay, so if he pitches in 60, then he has the ability to re-up. So maybe that was the issue for the Astros. Total max with incentives, $23.25 million. I saw this contract, and the first thing I thought of was, okay, so 3 years and $30 million for Rafael Montero wasn't too much. But a deal that essentially is, in a way, 1 year and $9 million, or 2 years and this, when you're trying to keep everything going the way that it's going, this was too much? Like, this isn't the Josh Hader contract. This isn't 5 years and $95 million. I'll be honest, I know that it's probably not good to have multiple arms in your bullpen that are making $10 million plus, and you already have that with Presley and Montero and with Hader. But at the same time, I don't know, guys. I kind of want as many good bullpen arms as I can have because I know that the Astros bullpen has been its strength of late. And, okay, some of these internal options, one of them will probably be surprisingly good. Like, that is generally how it works on a year-to-year basis with bullpens. But with what Neris did this past year, if it was really only going to take that to keep him around, wouldn't you want to keep him around? How many times did he put out like pretty bad fires for you this past season? It was a couple of times. And he also had that hilarious moment where he was calling the Julio Rodriguez, he was calling him homophobic slurs, allegedly. That was just fun for me. People in Seattle got so mad when I said that was my favorite moment of the season.
Like, well, you said that was your favorite moment?
Like, yeah, it was. It was hilarious. A bullpen guy struck out Julio Rodriguez and got in his face for, like, no reason after he did it. It was just so over the top and random. I loved it.
Yeah, I think it's tough to match the one-year $9 million offer when the role that you're pitching Hector Neris on is you pitch the sixth inning.
Yeah.
Maybe.
That's totally
fair. Maybe the seventh if if one of the guys is off, or it, you know, or you come in on those super high leverage spots where if you give up one hit, your ERA is going to be 9.
Yeah, and that's not ideal, but I look at this bullpen and okay, it's very top heavy. Like, best case scenario, with the year that Brian Abreu had, with what you hope Brian Presley will be, and with Hader aboard, like, that's awesome. But as we learned last year, pitching depth does not guarantee pitching health. And last year, the Astros had, like, a season from hell when it came to injuries. And, I mean, Sean, we are not medical experts, but we have questions about the Astros training staff based off of just this past year and the communication with which they described players and their very many injuries that they suffered.
I meant that more as on the Hector Neris. Like, Hector Neris is probably like, well, why would I want to be the fourth guy in a bullpen? Maybe fifth because of Rafael Montero.
I get
that. As opposed
that.
To being, like, the setup man for a team. And then, just how baseball works, even if the Cubs aren't contending, he'll probably be one of the best arms available at the trade deadline anyway.
See, that's true, but if you've pitched on this team specifically before and you've been in this clubhouse, do you really want to, you know, press the reset button and go elsewhere to a Cubs team that is supposed to be good?
Yeah,
didn't we say that last year?
They're in the NL Central, so they'll have a chance to win it, but it is an obvious step down. But, I mean, plenty of guys have left the Astros clubhouse.
No, that's true. It's totally true. For me, you know, the specifics of the contract with the player option after 60 games, I can understand how the Astros walked away from it. It's more, man, I thought he was going to get paid a ton, so I had accepted he was walking away. This seems like something you could have stomached for a couple of years if you were truly as all in as you are telling us you are by signing Josh Hader. That's more my issue with it. But to your point, Sean, you're right. What is his actual role? Would he have wanted that?
And also, if he pitches 60 games for the Astros, 40, 50 of them will probably be in the fifth or sixth inning.
That is true, too.
On this Astros team, if everything goes to plan. So it's like, so we're signing up for a second year of this for a sixth inning guy? That's where it gets tough, especially with the Rafael Montero. You know what? I think Josh Hader makes up for Rafael Montero contract.
I
Jim
just,
Crane, you've come out at neutral on those two.
You know what I want? I want average from Jose Abreu and Rafael Montero next year. That's it.
Abreu was good after he...
Abreu had a great close
after he finally sat down for being hurt for the entire year.
Yeah.
So maybe it was just hurt.
And it always goes back to the Astros training staff, doesn't it? As Pinche brings up. Minor discomfort. Yep.
Minor discomfort.
That's all everyone has. Minor discomfort. It keeps Lance McCullers out for 3 years. Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We wrap things up with a little garbage time, and I got to tell you about a story of my weekend in Austin. We'll stick around.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Insert random audio clip. Now,
Mr. Campbell, send out an amendment is acceptable to the author. Is there objection to the opposite amendment? And the chair has an amendment. Amendment is adopted.
Back to the Paul Gallant Show, coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Most interactive sports talk show in Houston. I'm very curious as to what happens in this Cougars UT game tonight. This is probably the first time I've been excited for a regular season college basketball game in conference specifically for our beloved Cougs in quite some time. I do plan on watching it. Sean Mapes, producer of the Paul Gallant Show, you are a Texas fan. I know that Andrew Carlson, producer of Connor and Beard, coming up next, is a Cougs fan. Have you guys placed a wager of any sort on this game?
No, not really.
Not really?
No.
Do you guys just not care? Do you not care about the pageantry of college athletics and seeing who is better between your two schools?
I can't speak for Andrew, but I don't really care.
You don't really care. This is so UT. This is so UT. I have a question.
No. I mean, I don't really care about Texas basketball that much.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Okay.
That's what I meant. I don't really care about a lot. I am very much I'll jump on the bandwagon of UT when they are good.
That's totally respectful.
Except for everything except for football.
I'm pretty much there for Syracuse.
It's just like, same thing with like Texas baseball. It's like, well, okay, when we have a chance to play, to go to Omaha, that's when I'll tune in and act like an expert. Like, that's all I got.
Syracuse and Florida football, that is 100% how I am. It is. Are they good? Oh, they're not? Okay, well, whatever, you know?
See you next year, folks.
Yeah, and I mean, it's just so much more time on my schedule now.
Yeah, especially coming, I mean, as a Texas fan from last year, where the team was really good, and then Chris Beard gets in some legal trouble and has to leave the team, and so it became like a, we cannot waste this year of being good. The last time we had, like, a top five coach in basketball, like, this probably won't happen again for a long time, so let's see this one through. Let's get over the finish line with this one, and then to, like, all but three main contributors off of that team left. And so it's hard to, like, all right, now let's do it again. As a fan, it's hard to get invested again when you know this team is way worse than last year's team.
That makes total sense. Now, I know you're not looking at it through the prism that so many Texas fans probably are, where there is a natural, it's the University of Houston. Eh. I am curious, though, for the average Texas fan psyche, because it does feel like the average Texas fan cares more about Horns Down than they care about all programs other than Oklahoma, which is funny because there's one program that they actually do care about more than Oklahoma, but they're not willing to admit, and that is Texas A&M.
Yeah, it's Oklahoma and A&M are the two rivals. Everyone else is like,
if you lost to Houston, would you be annoyed by the people that would be coming after you from a comics perspective? Or do you not know that many Houston fans?
Yeah, I would not care.
Wouldn't care?
If they come for me. But hey, guys, remember last week when I fired Rodney Terry?
That's true.
Just replay that.
Hell yeah.
Like, what are we talking about? Would I be upset? No.
Something.
I already fired the coach. What more do you want me to do? I've done all I can do as a alum.
You know what you have. You're calling the boosters. You called for the boosters to make it happen.
And then I called back after they beat Baylor and I forgot the other team that they beat. That was good.
Yeah, them.
That second good team. Oklahoma.
Yeah.
And I called them back. I said, wait, hold off. Let's not fire them yet. And they lost to BYU. And if they lose tonight, we're back on the fire Rodney Terry train.
I like it. I like it.
That's what fandom is, by the way. If we're not good, fire the coach.
And that's what Ravens fans are dealing with right now. Mm-hmm. I think today after the show, I'm going to go listen to some Baltimore sports radio. I really want to find some people that are real life versions of comedian Stavros Halkin's character, Ronnie, the Ravens fan, because I know that there are real versions of that person.
Now time for Orioles countdown.
Orioles countdown with their O's. Oh, no. Lamar Jackson.
Flacco would have won that
Flacco would have won it. Flacco would have won it. Oh, I wonder why. No, you notice how those two look different? Anyway. One of the things that always fascinates me about UT fans and the arrogance that they carry themselves with, which is one of the reasons that I like tend to identify as more UT than A&M, because I'm an arrogant uppity middle classer, you know, like I'm one of those. There seems to be a lot of things that they truly do not care about as far as rival schools that are in the Big 12. Like, and I get it because all the other schools hate them because they're the big brother, but there is a part of me that's like, it's got to kind of suck to just be like, yeah, we only care about OU. We pretend we don't care about A&M, but they do. And then everybody else is like, whatever. It's just different.
I mean, because you would have to hate 15 teams.
Yeah,
you'd
that's
have to
fun.
Hate every single team. I can't, you know, can't get it up it's, for every game on the schedule. Like, I just
got it. All right.
Look, Iowa State hates us. Cool. I've Jim literally Carey. Never met an Iowa State fan. It's
Jim Carrey, Iowa State fan. Thing I learned this weekend.
Actual Jim Carrey?
Jim Carrey. Wow. Jim Carrey's been like going viral because of things he's been doing at college basketball games.
Wow.
Yeah. He's been like, he's a very funny troll that makes.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm
That's
surprised.
A surprise.
Yeah, it was actually very cool.
Jim Carrey's funny. Wow.
Well, but would you expect him to troll a coach? He did that.
I mean, I wouldn't expect. I mean, I've never heard of him being a college basketball fan
either.
Until 30 seconds ago.
I saw it this morning. I was like, Jim Carrey went to Iowa State 1 and 2, like, cares about sports?
Yeah, I thought it was Canadian.
Me too. Sean Mapes, Paul Gallant, time for some garbage time. I'm only
happy when it's garbage. And then I start eating garbage.
If there's one guy up here who knows about total garbage,
garbage,
it's this guy. It's garbage time with Paul Gallant. Let's go.
Let's go.
So I went to Austin this weekend. On Friday, we went to, me and my friends, a bar. While I was at that bar, I had to go to what I thought was the little boys' room. There was a line outside two doors, and I assumed the door to the left with the wide open door and nobody taking advantage of the open door, I assumed it was the men's room. After all, there was a urinal in it. This urinal looked like lips. Very artistic urinal. So I go in, and somebody made a noise as I go in. I take care of my business, and I walk out, and a bunch of people are like, I can't believe you did that. And I'm just like, okay, what? What did I do? And they said, like, don't you know what that bathroom is? And I was like, I don't know. There's a urinal in it, so I'm assuming it's the men's room. And they said, no, it's not that. And I was like, all right, well, it's open now, so if you want to use it, go ahead. Because guess what men do when they go to the bathroom? They take usually less than a minute. And if you wash your hands, I wash my hands on the way out. Yeah, maybe a little bit longer than that. So anyway, I go out to rejoin my friends. And I'm sitting down. And all of a sudden, a mob squad of 5 women just come up to me. And they're demanding that I be kicked out of this bar for what I did. And I was like, what did I do? One of them made a claim that I had said something, which I definitely did not. So then I started to get a little bit mad. First, I'm just incredulous about the whole thing. And then I was officially kicked out of this place. Austin is so Austin. And once I got kicked out, then I was mad. And then I started saying some things that I honestly regret. A couple of drinks, it'll do that. But I can't believe I got kicked out of a bar for going to a bathroom that had a urinal in it and thinking it was the men's room. But that's what happened. I'm not going to reveal the name of this bar because my friends are close with the people that work there. But that's what stunned me. I got kicked out. And then everyone's like, yeah, well, you can't do that. I'm like, wait a second. Wait, we're all just buying in with this hook, line, and sinker? And then I went on an epic rant. And I kind of wish I caught it on microphone. But there's a lot of profanity in it, so we can't play it. So anyway, guys, don't worry about keeping Austin weird. It's doing a great job. And that's going to wrap up today's Paul Gallant Show. Big thanks to Sean Mapes behind the glass. Our YouTube, make sure you've subscribed to that if you haven't already. Twitch, text, phones. I am merely Paul Gallant. So long. Farewell. Have yourselves a wonderful Monday. Connor and Beard are up next. Peace.
It's giving San Francisco 49ers versus Ravens.
ESPN 97.5 on Twitch. We control the spice.
It is by the juice of Sapu that thoughts acquire speed, the lips acquire stains, stains become a warning. It is by will alone I set my mind in motion.